Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. All right, welcome back. We're going to start looking at Charlie Christian's solo on Stompin' at the Savoy, one of the greatest solos of all time and a very important solo in the history of jazz guitar, being the first electric guitar solo of this type, this sort of substantial multi-chorus guitar solo in a live context at Minton's Playhouse, May 1941. Kenny Clarke on drums, Kenny Kersey on piano, Joe Guy on trumpet. For more on the history and context of that solo and Charlie Christian and all that stuff, you can see the previous video. I did a pretty good little introduction on there, although there was a great comment on that episode from a member, David Ben Yahia. Fellow patrons may be interested in listening to this extended interview with Barney Kessel in 1981 about his experiences meeting, listening to, and jamming with Charlie Christian. And yes, I had heard that interview before, and I actually quoted the interview in the episode, but I went back and I listened to the whole thing again, and it's really great. There was something in there that I really liked, which is Barney Kessel talking about technique. The interviewer asks Barney Kessel, how was Charlie Christian's technique, or what was his technique like, or something like that? Did he have good technique? And Barney Kessel says, well, I think technique is like control, you know, so if you have the ability to express your idea, you know, then you have good technique, you know, which is something that I've always really felt is true. For example, who has better technique, like Thelonious Monk or Art Tatum? You know, in my mind, they both have great technique, you know, because they both express their personalities. You know, they both have the tools to express their personalities. They don't have more, they don't have less. They have exactly what they need, you know. And whereas most people might say, well, Art Tatum has better technique because he just plays all this stuff. I mean, he gets all over the piano. But That's not what Charlie Christian was doing. Charlie Christian was not playing all over the guitar like crazy. You know, he was playing ideas, and so Barney Kessel goes on to explain it in terms of like a money thing. Like if you want to take a lot of vacations to Europe, well, you need the money to do that, and if you don't have the money to do that, then you're not able to do the things you want to do. And if you don't want to do all that stuff, then you don't need as much money and stuff like that. So, you know, that's his analogy. I oftentimes think of it like in terms of language, you know. What kind of vocabulary do you need to express what you need, or what kind of are you able to articulate your ideas clearly? You know, have you worked that out? So, anyway, also, things I hadn't listened to before that were connected to that YouTube. I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole, and this same interviewer for this project in 1981, which was the 40th anniversary of Charlie Christian's death. Well, it's actually would be 82, I guess, but maybe that's when the article came out. He did an interview with Benny Goodman, and he did an interview with John Hammond. John Hammond, the talent scout that was, you know, the legendary talent scout that introduced Charlie Christian to Benny Goodman, and he talked about, they both t- talked quite a bit about very interesting stuff, anecdotes, and Benny Goodman's even singing a little bit in the interview. I forgot that Benny Goodman lived quite a long time. So anyway, you can follow that link and see those interviews. So anyway, to the solo, let's get into it here. So I think today we'll just look at this like in bite-sized pieces. And our bites will be 8 bars, I think. Let's do half a chorus. Let's see how that goes. The first half chorus goes like this. Oops, let's see here. Okay, so remember the tune is stomping at the Savoy. So that's basically, it's kind of like dominant tonic, you know. Goes like 2-5-1, very simple. So there's not a lot of like harmony happening, but there is a little bit. There's a little bit that it's interesting what Charlie Christian does with it. But what does he do here? He goes it starts before the chorus. He starts on the third beat of the previous thing. I'll wind it back so you can hear it start. So 1-2-1-2, ooh, oh, sorry, 1-2-1-2. Now I have attached my transcription to this video. So this is the transcription for the whole solo. So if you download that, put it on your computer somewhere, print it out or whatever, then that will be the thing that I'm referring to for this whole series, okay? And that transcription has the fingerings. Oh, there's one very important thing I forgot to mention, which is also comes from the Barney Kessel thing. And it comes from photos and all kinds of stuff. When you look at photos of Charlie Christian, where he's actually playing, not where he's posing or whatever, where something like this. Let's see if I can get this. Let's see if I can get this in the camera. See his hand? Look at the fourth finger. Fourth finger is tucked back there. Let's see if we can find another one. And that one's too small. A lot of times he's posing for the picture with the guitar, so that's not an accurate representation of how he might be playing. There's some other guitar players. Again, I'm looking at this book by Peter Broadbent, which is a great resource. And here he is posing again. But even in this posing picture, his pinky is tucked away. Can you see it? It's kind of hard to see. But the point, and then what I can see in this picture, is very small, but I can see that his hand is in the same position. Something like this. Where, you know, basically where the, you know, the fingers are angled and the pinky's kind of, like, not being used too much. And Barney Kessel also mentioned in that interview, in the same section where the interviewer is asking him about, like, what did he do with his right hand, left hand? Actually, the interviewer asked pretty good questions. You know, he gets pretty good detailed information out of Barney Kessel. And he says, well, he didn't barely ever use his pinky, barely ever use the fourth finger. Doesn't mean he never used it, but it certainly was not a part of his main technique, using the fourth finger. And when you look at, you know, there's many guitar players that just use the fourth finger, you know, occasionally, like Wes Montgomery, Grant Green, even George Benson quite often is using three-finger type of stuff. So my transcription that is attached to this is using only three fingers. Now, there's many places where you could use a fourth finger in there, and I'll talk about that, I guess, when it comes up. But for the most part, three fingers. And the position of the hand, I'm just kind of imitating Charlie Christian's hand position, which is usually, you know, something just pretty relaxed, like the thumb is coming over the back or it's back here like this, and the fingers are kind of angled like this, you know. So even that, that's the first part. Boom, 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 boom. Now you could do this different ways, for example, up there, but I don't think that's likely. And also I'm listening to the sound of the strings on the record. You know, they have a brighter sound on these higher strings, and I'm thinking that that's the most likely place he would have played that. I mean, that seems unlikely to be all the way down there. And of course, you could play F, F, A flat, F, E flat, D flat. But, you know, when your hand is in this position, it's just as easy and probably a little stronger to play that with a third finger. 1-3-1-3-1. So we go bo 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 bo. That's the first phrase, right? Just getting into it. Okay, so now what happened there? Now where is he gonna play that? He could do it there. My guess is that would be up here on the ninth fret. You know, that seems to be the most likely thing, because that's, you know, that's where your hand. You think about when you're playing in D flat. All the stuff is like, there's like a lot of stuff around the ninth fret, because that's where that, you know, where all that D-flat stuff is, you know, if you're thinking about D-flat being on the sixth string root there. So, also, bending that string, he's bending that B. Interesting that he's not bending the B flat, he's bending a B natural. I'm pretty sure. Let's check that. Yeah, see? He almost comes up to the major seventh. So, you can see where I'm playing here. That stuff all works very well in the ninth position. That's why I'm guessing. You wouldn't play that. You wouldn't really do that. Again, all that stuff. The ninth position is kind of home position for this whole solo. Okay, so that's the first four bars. That should be pretty straightforward. Now how about the next phrase? Now, is that a slide or is it a kind of a hammer-on? To me that sounds like, oh, sorry. Not this. Also seems more likely that you would do that. than sliding into it, you know. Okay. Okay, this is a little more complicated. So he gets right into doing some more stuff. So this part right here. So where would this be? This to me feels a little too clustered up here, too high on the neck, a little too muddy. So because he just finished up here, so you would think maybe he's gonna stay there, something like that. But I mean, I'm playing the same guitar that he was playing, and when you're up here, it's like you're hitting the body of the guitar, and it's not so, it doesn't feel so great. So my guess is that he returned back to where he started the solo. Much nicer down here. And again, three fingers. Of course, you could do this A flat with a fourth finger. That's fine, but I think it's probably the third finger, and I also have another reason for that because of where it goes. He does this. Because he has to come back up here. And he slides into that F. You can hear that slide. So I think that that's a third finger slide. And then just coming up three, and then 1-3-1-3. Now, once you get here, you're kind of in now seventh position. I mean, I doubt Charlie Christian was thinking about positions and all this. I'm just using that to describe where we are. This is basically sixth position here. But he doesn't go, very importantly, he doesn't go like this. He doesn't keep coming back down to that C sharp. Once he gets up there, those are just quarter notes, right? See? Beep. Which to me feels like he's moved there. Yeah. Right? Because that, if you put your whole hand in that position now, this is playing 3-2-1 here. Then it's very easy to get up here. Now, how about this next part? This is very interesting. Okay, the notes are... You can see them on the transcription. Now this is after. So let's see. So he's got to come to a G flat, E flat, and then he goes up like an E flat minor six. Is kind of how I think about that. Looks like I wrote it as 16th there. Is that how it sounds? I mean, you could just write it as triplets. I'm not sure why I wrote it that way. I'm sure that did it. Now I have an opinion about this. phrase. I'll see if you agree with me. But I feel like, okay, a modern guitar player would probably say, if I just finished here, then I would come and play that whole phrase up high like this. So I'm playing. This is all 10th position. And I'm using my fourth finger. But I don't think he does it that way. And I'll tell you why. Also, because of the sound of the strings, they sound to me to be a little thinner. Doesn't sound like these strings. To me, it sounds like this. And what if he did it this way? It would be like this. Now that's quite a jump. And why would I say that he does it that way? Well, I think that it has something to do with shapes. And I feel like Charlie Christian had like a really great intuition for shapes on the guitar. And we'll get more into that when he goes into the bridge, which is where it's like really some crazy shape stuff. But there's this shape that he uses when it's like a seventh chord. And that's like an E-flat minor six shape. This A flat seven, right? Oh, sorry. This kind of shape, which is very nice to play on the top three strings. It's not so nice here. Not so nice. But there, you could do it here, as in bo bo do ba, and you could also do it here. Now it becomes a G flat minor six. G flat minor six is another sound on the dominant, right? A G flat minor six, and if you go back, there's a whole series I did on this called Symmetry, about all the different chords. But the E flat minor six and the G flat minor six are related by a minor third, and they all come from the same diminished sound. Sorry, which is this diminished, the A C E flat G flat. Now in this case, The A is, you could raise the A up to a B flat and you get this E flat minor six. Right, that's your diminished. And now you have E flat minor six. But we go back to that diminished again. And we just change the that's A minor six. We want to have the B flat in there. Mm-hmm. So we raise the A to a B flat to E flat minor six. And then we go back to the diminished, raise the G flat to a G natural and get C minor six. And we raise the E flat to an E natural and get A minor six. We raise the C to a D flat, and we get the G flat minor six. And that's the one that he goes to, right? So he's using two different sounds for the dominant. He's using these two to go back to the tonic, you know, which is a common sound. I'm just analyzing it a bit, you know, probably too much, but now, you know, you could just play them like that. You could do any kind of version of, you know, that G flat minor six going to D flat. That's like in Stardust, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing here. So. But what he does in that one line, so my feeling of why I think he doesn't do it up here is because he can use the exact same shape, and by shape I mean physical shape, physical configuration of the hand for both of those things. He just moves it by a minor third, but you have to connect them. So he's going up this one, and then he's going down this one. And it sounds to me like a leap up to that F. Like, that sounds plausible to me. Check it out. I don't know. What do you think? Ahead. And of course I'm still using my third finger to grab that note. You could use your fourth finger. I just like the way the third sounds because it's so strong. Let's see. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it as far as what I think is happening on that first eight bars. To me, by far the most interesting thing is that one phrase and trying to figure out, could it be, or could it be. To me, this just feels good. And I always go with what feels good with Charlie Christian, with Wes Montgomery, with George Benson, with these people who are real geniuses of figuring out physical gestures on the guitar. You know, things that just have a. It's not like something you figure out. It's something you figure out physically. You figure out a way to, like, you get the notes that are cool, but there's a physical gesture about it that lets you focus on the rhythm and focus on the swing and focus on the beat, you know. So that's a weird move, but you can get it pretty easily if you just it's gonna be hard without looking at the guitar. Most of the pictures where he's playing, he is looking at his hands. So, you know, so who knows? I think, well, those are the notes, and you can play it whichever way you want. But when I'm playing something like this, I really want to focus on getting the feel. That's really the most important thing. Analyzing the notes and all that is cool, but it's the feel, you know, based on the accounts of hearing Charlie Christian, it was his feeling for the beat and the rhythm that was really the thing that struck a chord, no pun intended, with people that were listening to him. Okay, so that's enough for today, and join me next time for the next eight bars. All right. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along,
a category called The Language of Jazz, where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk, as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar, and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading. We work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.